In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Muslims from around the world, hello and welcome to Radio Ma'arif, the English broadcast from Qom City, Islamic Republic of Iran. As you know, the program is titled as Question and Answers, specifically concerned with the questions and its answer on Islamic aspects of thoughts, especially the religious ones. And the expert invited to this program, as usual, is Dr. Barati, ready to answer your questions. Hello, doctor, and welcome to this program.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much.
Okay, doctor, for the first question today, which was sent by a letter, it's about the birthday of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Is the celebration of the birthday of Prophet Muhammad halal or not? And if yes, why?
Majority of Muslims and Islamic world believe that not only it is halal and valid.
That's right.
But even it is praised and recommended, and it is a value for Islam and Muslims, because it is memorandum of Prophet, peace be upon him, and praising him, mentioning him, remembering him. For example, reading his seerah and life and good attributes as a model for us, as a leader, as a teacher, as a preacher for us, and to strengthen the love of Prophet in our hearts is good. There is only one group, a minority group, which even they don't accept to come to discussion and dialogue with the Muslims, with the majority of Muslims. They are called Salafis or Wahhabis.
That's right.
They prohibit it. They say because Prophet, peace be upon him, he himself didn't order the Ummah to make celebration for him, one. Second, because this is a kind of behavior witnessed by Christians and other religions, do celebrate, for example, birthday for their own Prophet. So this is a bid'ah. Bid'ah is a kind of innovation and pushing something inside the religion which does not belong to religion. Because of that, they are fighting it, they are combating against it, and consider it haram. But the majority of Muslims do argue for them. They say, do you believe in love of Prophet? They say yes.
Or affection.
Do you believe that reading his seerah and his life and his tradition is good for us?
That's
give
right.
us courage and education and models for life? They say yes. So we say because of that we do this celebration. And we don't say that Prophet ordered us, or it is mentioned in Quran, or it is one of the rituals in Islam. But because it is good in every day, we choose this day. The same day which is, for example, day of birth.
Coincident with the birth of
with this occasion.
That's
so
right.
We choose this day or this month.
For
because
celebration.
In some countries, they do celebrate the whole month of Rabiul Awwal as the month of Milad, the month of birth of Prophet, peace be upon him. And in our meetings, in our celebrations, in our ritual ceremonies, we don't, for example, do bad things. We practice, for example, sin or, for example, insult to others. Only we praise Prophet and invite people to know him better, to love him better, to follow him better. And if they know him and love him and follow him, they will love the whole world. They will be good brothers to each other.
Right.
They will help each other. Their better life is guaranteed if they know Prophet and love him and follow him. So we choose this period of time for this purpose, and it is not bad in Islam.
That's right. You know, celebrating the birthday of Prophet Muhammad, who has a grand character in the history, is not something usual. When we look at the ordinary lives of the people, they celebrate something usual, for example, the wedding ceremony. They celebrate it. Or, for example, for some military officers, they have a day of memorandum. When we compare the rank of a military officer with the Holy Prophet, come on, this is, in fact, a nice comparison. they do such a celebration for the military officers or for the wedding anniversary or something usual, something daily, something worldly.
Or establishment of some government.
That's right, or establishment of government. Then we want to have a celebration for the Prophet Muhammad, who is in fact, I want to say, the grand prophet of Allah. Is it going to be halal or haram? I think another part of the question that can be posed here is that most of the Muslims, and especially our country in Iran, they are going to have their happy days with the celebration of Prophet Muhammad, and also, the birthday of Imam Mahdi, the upright one, and also the birthday of infallible imams, even the birthday of, we can say great Muslims, and such holidays in Iran. On the other hand, we are going to express our condolence for the demise and the departure of holy imams. And I think if we are looking for an excuse, you know, if you want to look completely as a human, if we are looking for an excuse, I think that the celebration of the birthday of Holy Prophet can be a nice excuse to, in fact, to get wet, to marry somebody else. What a nice coincidence this can be. In fact, something human with something exactly religion linked together in a nice day. Isn't it right?
Of course. Yeah.
Of course it's right. But I want to say that some people are going to abuse such celebrations. I mean, the birthday of Prophet Muhammad to do your wedding ceremony is not going to do something unlawful, is not going to do something illegal. These actions are not the actions that Prophet Muhammad, in fact, signed and sealed them and recommended. You should act according to Islam and according to laws of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his household, just established for Muslims and the people around the world. Isn't it true?
For sure.
That's right. Okay. For next question, which is a very interesting question for me too, you know, it's called about the ask about the black stone or Hajar al-Aswad. Why Muslim kiss it and touch it? You know, the person who has sent these questions through our email, it said, I've got a Christian friend and said he was shocked by this action by the Muslims in Kaaba. That why do Muslims kiss and touch black stone or Hajar al-Aswad? What is the reason exactly?
I don't think a Christian person is shocked when he witnesses such as this, because they have a lot of customs and cultures like this in Christianity. This is because of love and because of following Prophet, peace be upon him. As we answered the former question,
that's right.
You know, love is very important in religion, especially in Islam and Christianity. Love is a main pillar of religion. Even there is a question is asked from Prophet, peace be upon him, O Prophet of God, is love and hatred a part of religion? Prophet answers the interrogator, it's very strange of you. Is there anything else but love and hatred in religion, especially love?
That's right.
Love is the pillar or the soul of religion.
That's right.
So, Hajar al-Aswad is a stone which is signed and indicated in Islam as hand of God in the earth. Every Muslim tries to touch this stone and kiss this stone and to show renewing his covenants with God.
That's right.
His loyalty to God.
That's right.
And Prophet Muhammad, basically, Prophet Muhammad did this. And also, companions of Prophet, a lot of them like Umar bin Khattab, they told, we don't understand why we should kiss this stone. But because we observed that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did this, we follow him. This is one important reason. The
That's
second
right.
one, Prophet, he himself introduced this hajar, this stone, as a special and ultra-ordinary stone in the earth. And I remember I was in Mecca one day for Hajj. There was an Egyptian scholar. He's very famous because he is expert in geophysics.
That's right.
And also, in the same time, he is a Da'wah activist from Egypt. Dr. Naji al-Najjar was delivering a speech in Mecca, for example, Mecca Association for Literature.
That's right.
Nad al-Adabi in Mecca. and Mecca Club for Literature and Culture. He was delivering a speech there. He told that it happened once that European countries wanted to discover that is it true that in some traditions, some riwayat, narrations in Islam is told that Hajar al-Aswad does not belong to the earth planet. It came from the sky, other planets to the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered Adam, from the time of Adam, to put this in a corner of his house. Because the Kaaba is built first time by Adam. And is reconstructed by Abraham his son Ismail. And he ordered them especially to put this stone in a corner of his house. And people touch it to make a covenant and a kind of treatise with God. A kind of treaty.
That's right.
Treaty with God. So European countries wanted to discover, is it true or not, scientifically. So they sent one spy and ordered him and sent somebody to help him, assist him, to come and, for example, penetrate in Mecca society and go within the Hajjaj pilgrims inside Masjid al-Haram. And he had with him a hammer to, for example, break a very small part of this Hajar, this stone, and bring it to Europe to make analyses on it in laboratories and find does it resemble other stones of the earth or not. So this man, with the help of a lot of embassies in Jeddah and other towns of Saudi Arabia and local people, came to Mecca, went inside Masjid al-Haram, and in a chance, in an opportunity, he brought this hammer out and took very small part of Hajar al-Aswad and took it to Europe. They made these analyses and discovered, really, this stone does not belong to the earth. Doesn't resemble other
types of stones. That's very nice.
And this is physically and scientifically. And also religiously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you should do here a kind of, like you shake hand.
That's right.
For accord or for treaty or for aqd or for contract. You should shake hand of Allah. This Hajar is shake of is hand of Allah.
Shaking
in this
planet. Shaking hand of Allah. That's right.
And kissing is also recommended in Islam. But touching is more important.
That's right.
And Prophet Muhammad tried to do this in every circle and in every movement around Kaaba when he was doing pilgrimage.
That's right.
Because of that, Muslims do this.
That's very nice. You know, and if we don't we don't want to, in fact, have at least religious looks at the Hajar al-Aswad blankenstone, we can say that it's a symbol. Symbol of affection. I love you. You can see that even in Christianity, the cross is, of course, a symbol. It's a symbol of affection toward the Jesus Christ and, by the way, God. So Prophet Muhammad did really right, and this was the black stone. Okay, thank you very much. It was really nice of you. We will get to the studio, and we'll be back in a minute and listen to the next question.
Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya
Dear brothers and sisters, welcome back. We are presenting the program Question and Answer with the presence of Dr. Barati, an expert in this book. For the next question, which was sent through a letter, it says, I have tried to find a ruling in the Quran or rule in the Quran or the Hadith on man going out with a woman. But I could find none. Since it is only natural to be attracted to the opposite sex, it seems to me that such a meeting or going out is permissible. If you disagree, how could you justify your rule when it is Allah who has made this mutual attraction part of our nature? I mean, he believes because only love is possible, in fact, toward the opposite sex. And God, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has not said anything in the Holy Quran about it. But I think that God, you know better that God said something about loving the opposite sex, but lawfully. And regarding the regulations and the rules, Islamic rules. Is it possible to go out with a woman who is a stranger, is not halal to you?
Yes, as you explained very well, it is possible.
That's right.
To go out, but with some regulations and conditions. These regulations and conditions are in benefit of the both sides.
That's right.
Love is encouraged in Islam. Love is accepted.
That's right.
Love, even in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages marriage and love and says this is necessary for man and woman, and they could not gain a kind of peace in mind and ease in life but if they have such as this love in their life. But love, when it comes to social affairs, should be regulated. The rights of both sides in this love should be guaranteed. In this time, the role of law comes and emerges. In this affect, yes, if you want to go out with a woman, let it be clear, obvious, lawful, legal, and make a kind of contract between you and him. If you don't want to abuse her, or she does not want to abuse you, make an accord, make a contract of love. It is called marriage. Marriage is a contract of love, basically.
That's right.
And a kind of guarantee from both sides, a kind of responsibility from both sides. What kind of love is that? There is no responsibility in it. Love should be the responsibility. Love is sacrifice. If you love somebody else, you are ready to do sacrifice for her or for him, everything for him. It is not very difficult for you to accept some responsibilities or some duties in this regard. So because of that life, you should give her guarantee. You should give her contract. You should give her your responsibility that I love you and I am ready to pay your rights.
That's right.
How you are ready to, how you love her and you are not ready to guarantee her rights for her?
That's right.
The contract is.
And
guaranteed.
There are so many hadiths and narrations by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and the infallible Imams that marriage is a contract, but a true contract for a life session. I mean, when we are talking about the marriage, that's why Prophet Muhammad suggested to get married when you are young, you know, because you will be away from the sins, you will be away from the social sins, you will be away from the sexual sins. You will be away from, so many other crimes and faults that a person is going to be afflicted by throughout the life. And so being with a strange woman is not prohibited in Islam, but it has some regulations. You know, not only in Islam, but in other parts of the country. Maybe some Muslims think that, okay, the philosophy of hijab, in fact, covering for the women, and modesty and chastity for the man is only, in fact, limited to religion. Nowadays, we can see that psychologists, sociologists, even religious experts are talking about the importance of having a nice relationship between men and women. When you want to have a relationship with an opposite sex, it should be regulated.
يا حي يا قيوم 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 يا Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
For next question, which is sent to, through a letter, it said, religious preachers in my country often mention a breach, which they describe as sharper than the edge of a sword. They claim that everyone will be required to cross it on the day of judgment. The pious will pass without difficulty, I mean, this breach, while the non-believers will fall off it into the hell. Is that true?
All what we observe in the day of judgment is a kind of figurative.
That's figurative language or figurative. Yeah, that's
of
right.
What we practice in this world. All of us should pass the life, this here life, to go to hereafter.
That's right.
In this life, some of us fall in hell, fall in sins, fall in, for example, things they are not
evil deeds. That's
yes,
right.
Evil deeds. And some of the some of us, okay, pass very good and guaranteed and safe and arrive to the destiny.
That's right.
Also, the bridge they bring it in the day of judgment is not a artificial or, for example,
superficial, formal. Yes,
it is a real bridge.
That's right.
The bridge you passed in your life.
That's right. So, see, this bridge symbolizes, yeah, in fact, the link you got from your actions to God and vice versa. This bridge is mainly concerned or mainly consisted of our actions, our deeds in our daily lives today. And what about the sword? What does the sword symbolize here? You know, in fact, walking on a sword or something which is very sharp is very dangerous. Consider a knife. You can cut yourself like an evil deed. Or you can, do it for multi-purpose things, for good things. You can cut the bread, you can cut the meat and nourish yourself. And I think deeds are sharp. You know, sometimes you are going to do, angel and good things. And that time they will be the bridge to the heaven and paradise. Then you are going to do the bad things. They also would be the bridge, but to the hell. So the people are going to choose their way themselves. And then, in fact, the way to the paradise, maybe this bridge is going to symbolize this.
You are right, 100%.
That's right, thank you. For next question, is it forbidden to give a non-Muslim charity?
Why not? It is necessary.
It's necessary.
And recommended, yes.
That's right.
Because our prophet and saints have done this, especially if they are in need, and you are wealthy, you can help them. It is necessary. It is a humanistic duty.
That's right.
Does not belong to
religion.
Or to borders or, for example, ethnicity. This is good. You should help them. And especially you can show them that Islam is teaching you and instructing you to do this, to be good to other people.
That's right.
Prophet Muhammad, when he spent the wealth of Khadija, mostly spent for non-Muslims.
That's right.
And especially Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he is, for example, preaching that do this to others, like, for example, a non-Muslim worker for the government, when he is sick and he is old and he is left and neglected, Imam Ali alayhi salam orders them to come and do something like insurance for him.
That's right.
And give him, for example, salary to the end of life, despite he is not able to do his job now. He is, for example, retired. So means that this is a duty towards all, and especially towards non-Muslims. They have their own rights upon us. If they are Muslims, they have different rights. If they are, for example, neighbors, they have different rights. If they are relatives, they have different rights. But as being a man, Imam Ali alayhi salam orders Malik al-Ashtar, when he is going to Egypt, says that people of Egypt either are your brothers in religion, أَخُنْ لَكَ فِي الدِّينِ or نَذِيرٌ لَكَ فِي الْخَالْقِ, or similar with you in creature. Also, they have their own rights upon
That's
you,
right.
And you have duties towards them, especially if you live in a world that which is everything is linked and
together,
together. And what do you do with others is affecting the whole life of mankind and planet and world. So if they are in need, you should. And now observe, there is hunger in the world.
That's right.
Especially in non-Muslim countries like African countries South Asian countries.
Drought, yes.
Drought and right. hunger. And every day there are thousands of people dying from hunger. So some Islamic worlds and Islamic countries and wealthy countries,
that's right.
they voluntarily accepted to send foods to these poor people.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what is interesting about, in fact, giving charity or giving alms to other people is that Prophet Muhammad always suggested to give the best of your things as a charity. You know, sometimes the people are going to help the other people, but humiliate them in this with this action. They are going to give something which they do not need themselves, in fact, or they overused it. And after that, they are going. But Prophet Muhammad never recommended such a charity. Is it true or not?
Yes, even it is mentioned in Quran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You cannot reach the climax of, for example, being good person
That's
or
right.
being a charity, for example, person or what you call it, a human lover person. But if you leave and give what you like, not you what you don't like, what is left behind or
overused
or
so
is
old,
not so precious,
yes,
or you don't
right.
like it, what you like,
that's right,
it is precious, and not precious but is the best thing you like.
You like, yes. give to people and give charity of the best things you like.
Best things.
That's
and
right.
the things especially you like.
That's right.
You, what you like, you give them, not what you belongs to you.
That's
you possess.
Right. That's right. That's right.
If you give them something you like, you sacrifice, then you can be a good person.
That's right. And a good Muslim.
A donator. A
that's
good
right.
Muslim.
A donator, yes. That's right. And in fact, donating is not always giving the best thing. Sometimes you have to share what you have with your friend. Sometimes you have to share what you have with your neighbor. Especially the neighbor, you know, because it, some people think that giving the charity is only looking for poor people. No, maybe there is a neighbor living, in fact, near you, and he's poor. You can give the charity to that one.
Yes, also in Quran, some Muslims are praised because they give charity, they give alms in the time they are in need.
That's right. That's right. They need it themselves, but they give the charity and they sacrifice.
And also our saints, like Imam Ali and Lady Fatima and
That's
Imam
right.
Hassan and Imam Hussein, they are praised in Holy Quran. They were fasting. They
That's
were
right.
so hungry.
That's right.
And their fasting finished. They wanted to do to break the fast.
That's right.
In the same time, once a day, one poor person, another day, and a slave, another day, an orphan came to their house and knocked the door and asked for food and
That's
help.
Right.
So they sacrificed what they needed. They were in a severe need
That's
of
right.
it.
That's
they
right.
They were hungry. They were thirsty.
That's right.
So they give up this to this needy person.
There is a very beautiful anecdote that Imam Ali alayhi salam was praying. Suddenly a poor man came, and Imam Ali, when he was prostrating to God and praying, just gave his ring.
This is higher.
That's
this
right.
Is, more severe, because maybe somebody is wealthy, is rich, he has a lot of rings.
That's right.
Gives one of them, and even in prayer. But when you fasted one day,
That's right.
you didn't eat, you didn't drink, now you came to give to help yourself somehow.
That's right.
And in the same moment, somebody comes, and you drink only water, and forget about your food,
That's
give
right.
up it to the needy person. This is very important. Because of that, a verse in Quran revealed to praise this kind of work, because nobody else did.
Generosity, they are very generous.
Yeah.
Especially Imam Ali alayhi salam was a very generous man, and you know, it is narrated that when Imam Ali alayhi salam was in fact attacked and was injured by the sword, and there were so many people that they said that okay, the only cure is milk, and just bring milk, and that's and say okay, no, just give this milk to the people who need.
And because of that, the progressed countries, superpowers,
right.
and, for example, rich countries are invited now today by Islam and
right.
by all religions, revealed religions, to think about poor people, to think about hungry people. They don't, for example, waste and abuse the foods and necessity, for example, foods, and give them to hungry people
That's
and
right.
needy people.
That's
if
right.
they are really claiming that they love the mankind, they want to bring democracy, they want to bring a new world order, what kind of democracy and new world order is that hundreds of people or thousands of people, really thousands of people, this is the statistic that UN declared
That's
it
right.
last year, every day, in equal to a world war, we are casualties because of hunger.
That's right.
And they are neglecting. And we hear that they are using foods for fuel, for making gasoline for
That's
cars.
Right. That's right.
This is very bad. And instead of repeating, for example, old claims about fighting against terrorism.
That's
and
right.
So and so.
It's better just
it's better
to get to the problems.
Help
yes, that's right. Help these people. Thank you very much, Dr. Bharati. It was really nice of you to hear such answers. And this is the end of this session, dear brothers and sisters, Muslims from around the world. You can send your questions through our emails to radiomaarif@irib.ir, or you can also call 0098-251-2910551 or 2. You can, for more information, please visit our website on www.radiomaarif.ir. We are ready to answer your questions. Thank you very much, Dr. Bharati, the expert. Thank you.
لبيك يا الله.